If you wish to follow along as I read, turn to Genesis chapter 2 again. Genesis chapter 2. And I will read some of the same verses I read last time. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet that is suitable for him." Yes. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. My subject and my title is taken actually from verse 22. You see it? Let me read it one more time. Verse 22. "And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man." Think about this. This is my title. This is my subject. Taken from and brought to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Taken from and brought to Jesus Christ. Now, we're not talking about being taken away. I'm not talking about taking away, but from being taken from within.
Yes.
From within. It is astounding to me as I begin to read these first few chapters of the Bible. It's astounding once again when I realize that when you read the word of Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, and I believe it means what it says when it writes these words. God put Adam to sleep. God took a rib out of Adam, and he closed up the flesh.
Yes, sir.
And God made a woman out of that rib.
Yes, sir.
And he brought her to Adam.
That's right.
He brought her to Adam. But it's amazing to see that God in his wisdom even ordained the times, the manners, and the order of creation that he might execute illustrations of his salvation that he purposed in his precious Son.
Amen.
God didn't just create and then all of a sudden man fail.
Yeah.
The fall was already a given.
Yes, sir.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because Jesus Christ was ordained as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
God Almighty shows us these pictures, these illustrations, these symbols, if you will. Even in reality, when God made this woman, he made this woman for one purpose. That's to be a help meet for the man. God created her, and God brought her to Adam.
Amen.
God brought her to Adam. Everything that has Jesus Christ as its sole foundation is right here in this book. Everything has Jesus Christ as its sole foundation.
Yes, sir.
Again, taken from and brought to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want us to consider six thoughts this morning. And the sixth one I will probably have a lot more detail. I will have a lot more detail concerning the sixth one. But just think about these six thoughts. As Adam was before Eve, that is, he was before her. Adam was created first. Created in his fullness.
Yes, sir.
But there was one thing lacking. But it wasn't a lack in God. It's what God had purposed to do, to reveal to us right from the get-go how he plans to save sinners. He creates them in Christ Jesus. Amen. And he brings them to Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Think of it. As Adam was before Eve, so Christ was before us.
Yeah.
You remember what he said? It's recorded by John in John 8, verse 58. Before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
I am. I can even say this, though he's called the second Adam, he was first.
That's right.
He was first. He is preeminent. We also know that Peter said he was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
The second thought. As Eve was created from Adam. From Adam.
Yeah.
From a rib. Somebody says, you really don't believe that. I really do believe that.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I know it's so. You know why? Because God said so. As Eve was created from Adam, so is every believer created in Christ Jesus. We know we often quote Ephesians 2 verse 8, and rightfully so, and verse 9, and rightfully so. But let us remember verse 10, that we were created in Christ Jesus. You don't get into Jesus Christ, you must be created in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's as much an act of God. Salvation is as much a creative act of God as the beginning of the universe.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Created in Christ Jesus. Yes, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But Amen. If you miss the created part, everything else won't matter in that verse.
Exactly.
Created in Christ Jesus. Here's a third thought. As Eve was taken from within Adam. That's where she came from. As Eve was taken from within Adam, so all of the elect were in Christ before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
It says, the book says, Ephesians chapter 1 says clearly, God chose some people before the world began.
Amen.
It says these people God chose before the world began, God predestinated them unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself. If God's simply looking into the future to see what would happen, he didn't have to predestinate anything.
Exactly. That's right.
And religious men and women use the words. Well, some of them don't even use the word. Some of them don't even like the word predestinated. But even when they use the word, then they totally ignore the meaning of the word.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And it says we are accepted where?
Yeah.
In the beloved.
God
will not, yea, God cannot accept you and I in ourself. That's one of the things God cannot do. He cannot lie, but he also cannot accept a man or a woman in themselves. Here's the fourth thought. As God brought Eve to Adam, so God brings all the elect to Jesus Christ at God's appointed time. Christ himself said in John 6 and verse 37, all that the Father giveth me.
Amen.
All. How many does that mean? It means all.
That's right.
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. The giving must take place first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, God gave an eternal purpose, but God also gives, just like he did that, in time.
Yeah.
All those given in purpose before the world began are given in time.
Amen.
And all that the Father giveth me shall. Oh, don't you like that?
Yes, sir.
Isn't it sad that we're so depraved by nature that we argue about this blessed verse?
You're right. Oh, yeah.
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That lets me know somebody's going to come.
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
Amen.
Because God is doing this by a creative act. All the Father giveth me, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will for no reason. That's
Amen.
What he's saying.
Yeah.
I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
That's not license. That's comfort.
Yeah.
That's comfort. Amen. Now, let me tell you, it may be license to an unregenerate man
oh, yeah.
who gets a taste of religion.
Yeah.
Hmm? Yes. It may even be a mistaken act of liberty on the part of a young Christian that doesn't know any better.
You're right.
And uses their liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Some of us have been there.
Right.
In other words, God had to teach us the hard way.
Yes, sir.
But our liberty is not to free us to serve the flesh. It's to free us in Christ Jesus to serve God.
Amen.
I'm free to serve God without having to look over my shoulder every moment wondering if God's ready to whack me when I screw up. Because you will fall.
Yeah.
You will fail. You will sin.
Yes, sir.
But aren't you glad if you're given, you'll come.
Amen.
And if you come, he will in no wise cast you out.
Amen.
And our Lord went on to say in verses 44 and 45 of John 6, and they, who's these people, the God the Father is giving to the Son, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father, what's he do? He comes to me.
Amen. Mm.
I like that, don't you?
Amen.
I really like that. And then people want to argue and fuss.
Yeah.
Isn't it sad?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, granted, sometimes I get mad, but I ought not get mad, Mason, because at one time I was right exactly where they were.
Exactly. That's it.
And God was pleased to give me to Christ and bring me to Christ. In spite of myself.
Yes, sir.
In spite of myself.
Yes, sir.
I thank God for his grace, don't you?
Amen.
I often doubt myself, but I don't doubt his grace.
That's right.
And I know this, if he's given me grace, he gave it to me because he willed to do so. Joe already preached on it before the world began.
Amen.
And God knowing all things, just knowing all things, Mason, if it was based upon something we do, he'd have never given it to us to start with.
That's exactly
right. Right? Because all have sinned and done what? Come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Here's the fifth one. As Adam rejoiced in God's gift to him, didn't he?
Yeah.
I guarantee you, fellas, she was something to behold.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get upset with me. Don't get your knickers all up in a tight twist. I don't think she was some old toothless hag.
There you go.
Hmm? I figure she was a beautiful specimen of womanhood. God created her and brought her to the man. And he was happy about this. He was happy about this. Hmm. I want you to read. I want to read this. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. And think about this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it became him. It's talking about Jesus Christ. In other words, it was proper. It was the fitting thing.
Yeah.
For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect, through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of what? One.
Amen.
Now not only was Eve one with Adam in that she was actually created from a rib of Adam, but God brought her to him, to Adam, as his wife.
Yes, sir.
As his wife. In total nakedness, both of them. And there was no shame. This was a glorious thing.
Amen.
And Adam was glad they were one. He said, "This we're one, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh."
Yes.
Mm. But look at what it says. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
For me, this sinner, this wicked, vile sinner, to even contemplate that Jesus Christ is not ashamed of me.
Amen.
There is reason to be ashamed.
Yeah, you're right.
But he's made me one with him.
Amen.
That takes away the shame.
Yes, that's it.
In his eyes.
Yeah, that's it.
even though I still see it.
Yeah.
Right? I still feel it. I still experience. For which cause he is not ashamed. And isn't that what matters after all? He is not ashamed to call us a brother.
Amen.
A brother, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brother. You see it? In the midst of the church, Jesus Christ is singing.
Amen.
You see it? Joe, I believe it, but it's hard to even, he's there singing.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. He's here.
Amen.
Singing.
Yeah, that's right.
Because part of the church is still here.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Christ thanks the Father for us.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't that boggle your mind?
Yeah.
I mean, if that don't ring your bell, you ain't got no clapper inside.
Exactly.
You just got an empty husk. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, look at what Christ says. Behold, I and the children whom God hath given me.
Amen.
I want to be an Eve, don't you?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. There you go.
I want to be an Eve.
Amen.
Eve. Now we're going to get to the sixth one. Eve was not the head. And in that original state, she was glad to have it so.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? She was glad that she was nothing more than, and I say that intentionally,
yeah.
But it's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
A help meet for the man. Mason, I figure it was absolute, complete contentment with that.
Mm-hmm.
Until she started to look at that tree. And started to listen to the serpent. You see what I'm saying? Absolute, complete contentment. Now that makes me scream from with a side. Oh God, make me an Eve. You see where I'm coming from? See where I'm going? Here's the sixth one. As Eve, excuse me. As Eve was to Adam, so is the church to Christ.
Amen.
One flesh.
Amen.
One flesh. But he's the head.
Amen.
We don't partake in any headship.
That's right.
With Christ.
That's right.
There is divine order.
Yes, sir.
The man is the head of the woman. Why? Because Christ is the head of the church. And if you don't like that, no. If you don't love that, if you've got any argument against that, you are still in rebellion against God.
Yeah.
Look at Ephesians chapter 5. And you know this. Ephesians chapter 5. You know, today people, most people think that marriage is just some moral legality.
Yeah.
Don't they? Marriage, especially the first marriage, the one we just read about, that was a marriage, Mason.
Yeah.
It's a husband and a wife. Okay? The first marriage, especially, is not about some mere moral legality.
That's right.
It is a picture of how Jesus Christ is to the church.
Amen.
That's the seriousness of the thing.
Yes, sir.
Look at what it says. Paul wrote these words, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. Just two verses for right now. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. Wait a minute, where did we hear that?
Yep.
Right at the get-go, didn't we? Right at the get-go. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife.
Amen.
And they too shall be one flesh.
Amen.
This is a great mystery. And then here's the kicker. But I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Amen.
Nevertheless, he said, there is the physical reality of man and woman. But this is about Jesus Christ and his people.
Yes,
do you see it?
Yeah.
He says so.
Yeah.
He says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence. That's what it says.
Yeah.
Reverence her husband. Oh, how far we men and women are truly from that. Now, I'll mention a couple other things here. I won't go back and read it. But why? A couple questions. But why wives submit? Why wives be subject? He says that here.
Yeah.
Why wives reverence?
Yeah.
Again, it's not some legal morality.
Exactly.
This is true because Christ submitted himself to the Father.
Yes, sir.
The head of Christ is who? What does the book say? God. I'm not here to try to explain all that. It's just what the book says. The head of Christ is who? God. He came and submitted himself to the Father. Christ was subject to the Father's will.
Yes, sir.
He even prayed, and he meant it when he prayed it. How often I probably pray it and don't really mean it. God help me. Not my will. That's one of the reasons I chose that one song. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's why. That's why. Because the church is thus under Christ. That's the way we are. Now, it may not be the way. No. All too often, it's not the way we conduct ourselves as the church. Whether that's corporately or individually. But yet, that's the way it is. Do you get what I'm saying? This is God's will. We are subject to Christ.
Yes, sir.
Even when we kick and fuss.
You're right.
Huh? We're subject unto Christ. Oh, and this is true right on down to every individual believer. What about it, wives? What about it? But here's the second question. But why, husbands, love your wives? Why? Again, it's not some moral legality. Not what we're talking about here. I'm not talking about immorality either. It has nothing to do with that. But it's not just some moral legality. Why husbands love your wives? Because Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
Amen.
Now, I heard a preacher say this the other day, and it dawned. It finally hit. After 30-some years, Joe, it hit me. You know, I knew it, but it hit me. In death, did he give himself for her, the church, in death? Yes, he did. And that's what most of us husbands think about. Well, if anybody ever attacked my wife, I'd give my life for her. Don't we like to think that? Huh? But it's much more than that.
Yes, sir.
He gave his life while he lived.
That's right. Amen.
He came to do the will of the Father for our good.
Yes, sir.
He even was subject unto his parents, the book says. Why?
Right.
Because he had to be? He's their God.
Yeah.
He did that for me.
Amen.
Because I'm not subject to my parents like I'm supposed to be.
That's right.
How about you?
Yeah.
One little rebellion against a parent shows the damnable nature of our souls.
Exactly.
And yet Jesus Christ did that for me.
Amen.
He did that for you. Everything for 33 and a half years, they say, somewhere around, he walked this earth and lived for us. He gave himself for us in his life as well as in his death.
Amen.
And what's he doing right now? He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And he's also doing what? Making intercession. In his exaltation, he is giving himself. For what reason? For us. Now, when it says husbands love your wives, that's what it's talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not just if somebody tries to kill her, I'll step in and try to do something. Exactly. No, you give your life for her.
Yes. Amen.
God help me.
Yeah.
What about it, husbands?
There you go.
God help me. That's a whole lot more than just I'll take a bullet for her.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? My life is not about me. It ought to be about who? Her. Because Christ's life is about his bride,
That's
his
right.
church, his elect, his people. You and me. Isn't that glorious?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that glorious? In death, yes, but also husbands in life and even exaltation. If you do well at work, David Wright, if you do well at work, that's for your wife's benefit. That's what it ought to be.
Yeah.
That's for her. Feed her. Protect her. Clothe her. Love her in a real way. Not just in words. But also consider this. Ephesians 5:26. Look at what it says. That he might, let's talk about Christ, sanctify, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. By the word. Now this struck me again too. Does the word of God bow me? You ever had it out with the spouse? What is it that settles the argument? Is it coming to an agreement or is it the word of God? It's not about coming to an agreement. So it's 50-50. No. Husbands, it's 100%. You are to be 100% for your wife.
Yes, sir.
And you're not. And neither am I. Wives, you're to be 100% for your husbands. But you're not. In this life, on this side of glory, as we say, we cannot be. But he is. But he is. And Doug, God help me, I want to strive for that. Though I know I'll never reach it. David Wright, it doesn't make me want to quit.
There you go.
It doesn't make me want to quit. But it's more than that. Does this word bow me? Does this word correct me? Does this word guide me? Does this word arrest me? That tells a true believer. Yeah. Is when this word settles all the arguments and the disagreements.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some of us, you may have lived long enough together, you know not to push each other's buttons. I understand that. But right here is what settles all arguments.
That's true.
Right here is the answer to all the questions and the problems and the difficulties. And if it doesn't stop you in your tracks, then you're not being what? Sanctified and cleansed with the washing of water by the word. The word bows me down to Christ.
Yes, sir.
And I like that. Oh, I don't always like it right at first. But I like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Well, those of you who are true believers, you know what I'm saying. Oh, yeah, no chastising is pleasant.
There you go.
Oh, but afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know what that righteousness is? It is believing God and bowing down to Him.
Amen.
Most people think that means I start doing better and living better. You can't do any better. You can't live any better. You are what you are. And thank God included with that is by the grace of God. I am what I am.
Yes, sir.
Now that's another message. But here's another point. It's more than that. Look at what Paul said to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. It's more than that. Us wives, husbands, men, women. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And listen to this word. Now I know this goes totally against the grain of what we see in this world today. But this is God's word. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 4. The wife hath not power over or of her own body. Doesn't matter, believing women, what laws that men may give you. Your king is Jesus Christ. His word is supreme. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Do you see it? This ain't about the man gets to be in charge.
No, it's not. You're right.
This is about loving, willing submission to the other.
Amen.
Seeking their good, even their, and I don't want to be brash, but even their physical pleasure. That's what it's talking about. That's the literal taking of it. But it's this thing. What? It's more than, why such a command like this?
Yeah.
Because it's what Paul's already previously said in chapter 6, and look at it, verses 17 to the end. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. Flee fornication. Run from it.
Yeah.
That's what it's talking about, ain't it?
Yeah.
Run from it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Now here it is. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
Amen.
It's not just some moral legality.
That's right.
It's not some male chauvinism, nor female chauvinism.
That's right.
Hmm? Yeah. It's not about self-empowerment. It's again about submission.
Amen.
Subjection. Even in Ephesians, Paul says to all of us, be ye subject one to another.
That's right.
Submit one to another. My concern ought to be more about you than it is about me.
Yeah, exactly.
Sadly, God help me, it's all too often not so. Aren't you glad for continual forgiveness?
Yes, huh? Sir. That's right.
Aren't you glad? Yeah. Mm. Why such a command? Because our bodies are not our own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in our... Here, that sometimes can be fairly well easily done. It's the outward thing. We can dress up the outward thing. But look, and in your spirit. There's the tough one. Remember, Mason, you and I and Elizabeth, we talked about that murmuring? The spirit loves to murmur. Now think about that word murmur. I didn't even have this in my nose. It's that mumbling under your breath.
That's exactly right.
This says, listen, glorify God in your body and in your spirit because it's God's.
Amen.
It's God's.
Amen.
Isn't that something? Let me tell you, neither was Christ's body his own. Go back and look at it again. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. It became him. What? To be made flesh. For what purpose? He needed to do this? He somehow needed to be a man? No, he did that for us. Us. He subjected his human body and human spirit to the will of the Father for his bride. For us. For us. You know, Joe, this sounds vitally important to me.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
This is vitally important. God has taken us from Christ, made us from Christ,
yeah,
brought us to Christ, and joined us to Christ.
Amen.
And he prayed that they all may be one, even as we are one,
right,
and to be one in him.
Amen.
About to say that. I'm glad he's the one that had to pray that prayer and make it so.
Yeah.
Not me.
There you go. Yeah.
Because I can't make it so.
Exactly.
I can't make it so. God help, I can't make it so. But he did make it so.
Amen.
One. Look sometime again. Ephesians 3, 19 through 21, if you would. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. And he said, we are complete where? Where's my completeness? Not in me, in him.
Amen.
He's the head of the body. And Joe, I'm glad to be a help meet for him.
Exactly.
Aren't you?
Amen.
Oh, I know I kick and I fuss, but I'm glad about it. Here's that one more thought, a help suitable. We're the help suitable.
Amen.
Now, I know we don't look much like it.
No.
And I know oftentimes we don't conduct ourselves that way. But we are.
We are.
Help. So why? Because God made us that way. Now, not what we are by nature, but remember that new nature? Mason, it pleases God.
Yes.
That new nature is created in righteousness and true holiness after the image of him that created him.
Amen.
That image is the woman,
yeah,
who truly submits, bows, and reverences her husband. That's where it's at. To be help suitable, help meet, suitable to serve my husband and my head. Suitable to revere, profound reverence and respect.
Yeah.
Suitable to revere my husband and my head. Suitable to honor him. Suitable to honor him, my husband and my head. Suitable to sound forth his praises.
Yeah.
You see, that's what we ought to be doing. The husband ought to be bragging about his wife. The wife ought to be bragging about her husband.
Yes, sir.
And somebody said they don't deserve it. Neither do you.
Exactly.
You don't deserve it, but God said this is the way it's supposed to be. Right?
Yes, sir.
Think of it. We get to sound forth his praises.
That's right.
Yay, here's an astounding thing. I can't even explain this, folks. I really can't. Maybe Joe study this sometime and preach on it, but I know it's so. And look, Ephesians chapter 1. Talking about Christ, verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is coming. Notice, Christ is everything.
Amen.
He's above everything. He's more glorious than everything. You can't brag about him too much.
Exactly.
That's what he's talking. You can't brag. It's all right to brag on your husband. He's the Lord God of glory.
Amen.
And hath put all things under his what? Feet. What it says, does it not? And put all that includes who else?
Yeah.
Me.
Exactly.
And gave him to be head over all things to the church. Who's in charge? It's even what people don't know who's really in charge.
Yeah.
It's Sovereign Grace Chapel. That's actually been said. Mm-hmm. Christ is in charge, God willing.
Amen.
Christ is the head. Christ is the shepherd. Christ is the pastor. Christ is the elder brother. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Even to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. And then think about this. Here's the statement. I don't know how to explain it. The fullness. It's talking about us.
Yeah.
Look, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Yeah.
Your help. Meet for him.
Yeah.
What a privilege, place, and state to be in. Is it not? Or do I look at it as some grievous task?
Yeah.
Oh, God, help me. If Christ faced me like I all too often face my spouse, I'd be a goner.
Yeah. There you go. You're right.
I'd be a goner. I'm glad he's the head.
Amen.
Not me. Aren't you?
Don't
you? See, to be under his feet is a good place.
Oh, yeah.
To be conquered by him, it's a good thing. But my rebellious old nature says, I will not have this man reign over me.
Oh, yeah.
It's a joyous place to be in.
Amen.
You see, the answer that I can give honestly to that, the answer that you can give honestly to that, is this a privilege or a chore?
There you go.
Tells worlds about me. Says worlds about me,
yes,
as it does of you.
Yeah.
And remember, husbands, love your wives.
That's right.
Wives, be subject to the husbands. But remember, this is a taller order than just that. We're talking about Christ and the church.
Amen.
It said God took that rib. He anesthetized Adam. Put him to sleep.
Yeah.
He took a rib out and he created the woman. That's what he did for us. He created us.
Yes, sir.
And then he gave us to Christ.
Amen.
And Christ is happy with us. That boggles my mind.
Yes, sir.
He likes to sing about us.
Yes, sir.
To the Father.
Amen.
I just don't have the words, Joe. Just don't have the words. Oh, God, teach us these things. Guide us in our walk, but oh, God, keep our hearts and minds stayed upon Christ Jesus. As in his name. Amen.